B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, July 22nd, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out what we got up to over the weekend, the very, very hot weekend. Plus, we're going to ask, should surprise or shadow patches return to online games? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about San Diego Comic-Con. Big announcements were made at this year's Comic-Con from Netflix, from Marvel, and if we don't let Robbie talk about it, he might actually throttle one of us to death. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Ponchow.
Norris Howard.
You already know who it is.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
That's right, and really when it comes down to it, this isn't just a San Diego Comic-Con recap, it's basically a Marvel recap. Let's get the one video game related thing out of the way. We did get a trailer for Netflix's The Witcher. It actually doesn't look
looks
terrible.
Better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
There are also confirmations that this series will be very aimed at adults
and true just, to the books,
right?
Not
true
the
to the source material and very much very very adult theme. I know that there was some very big concerns that it was that the content was going to be sanitized mm-hmm. for this series. It doesn't sound like that's the case.
Yeah, there was actually I saw a tweet where someone was asking where Geralt's beard was, and a Netflix account responded with "We left it at home with the damn books." So I'll give you
not
some
bad.
Props for that. I'll give
fair
you some
enough.
Props for that.
Okay.
But obviously, yes, the big news of the weekend, I think, for all of us was definitely the Marvel panel.
Where yeah. we the
got
what?
The Marvel panel.
The what?
The anyway, they announced.
I haven't heard about this. What? I haven't heard anything. My Twitter has not been constantly inundated with updates ever since Saturday night
of Phase 4. We basically got all of Phase 4, which includes quite a few movies and all the Disney Plus series that we could want. So let's start with the movies. First of all, obviously, we know, yes, that the Black Widow movie is coming, that the confirmed villain is Taskmaster, and Feige has said...
They've actually been filming this already.
They have. Yeah. It's nearly complete, and Feige has said that this movie will go to shed more light on why Endgame had to be the end of Natasha's story.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it does make you wonder why they like didn't just announce it beforehand, because like we say up until this, we technically hadn't gotten a confirmation, even though it was the worst kept secret in Hollywood.
They could have left this out and included another one like movie leading into like, you know, Phase 5 or something like that, for all that I care.
Yeah.
We also learned about the Eternals, which will apparently have heavy connections to both Thor 4 and Guardians 3.
Makes sense, getting back into the cosmic,
the most
side
cosmic
of things.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what a cast here too. We have Angelina Jolie, Kumail Nanjiani, Selma Hayek, Richard Madden. Like, this is these are
it's
some
nuts,
names
dude.
In here, man.
It's nuts. Here's the thing about the Eternals, though, is that it's not like it was one of those books that was super duper well, you know, widespread, well loved. Well, it's really
not even,
obscure.
They're not even crossover characters
yeah.
that have done. I mean, very much. This is very similar to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
As people went into Guardians of the Galaxy, not sure what to expect. Right, like the old books, you know, the movies didn't follow those hardly at all. It was most references to the old books were in Easter egg form, mm-hmm. You know, so it really provided Marvel with a pretty big blank slate. And I have to wonder if that's what they're going to end up doing here, mm-hmm. or if they're going to end up kind of playing close to the source material. Because I'm with you, I don't know the source
yeah,
material.
And I think this is a way for them to sort of, I don't want to necessarily say, do anything akin to the same as the Infinity Gems and like the Infinity Watch stuff that we've talked about.
Well, but because the Infinity stuff has been
wrapped up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's been tied up with a nice bow. So I think the Eternals is a good way for them to kind of keep the celestial scope in play, if you will.
I got to tell you, it's been a long time since her last Tomb Raider movie, but I'm ready to see Angelina Jolie be a badass again.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see that.
I have to wonder what kind of role she'll end up playing.
I mean, because she could just end up being like a wispy mystic.
Yeah, I mean,
that would suck.
No. If you get Angelina Jolie, she's headlining.
Yeah, she could just be Galadriel for all we know.
That would also suck.
Also got confirmation that Shang-Chi would be the Legend of the Ten Rings, so the Mandarin is confirmed.
Okay,
the
this
real
is,
Mandarin is
this is actually pretty dope.
I was about to say, this is probably the second thing I'm most excited about from this announcement.
So explain, because you've done a little bit of research now on Shang-Chi. This is not a hero that many of us are terribly familiar with.
Yep.
Give us a little background.
So Shang-Chi is the Master of Kung Fu. So the Master of Kung Fu is like the title. That's probably what you actually heard of.
Sure.
And he I'm actually not super familiar with him as well, but I think what he's going to help to do for the Marvel Cinematic Universe here is, because Iron Fist was such an abject failure, that whole sort of martial arts, Far Eastern, like spiritual sort
of
sign.
The Legend of Kunlun and all
right,
that. Yeah.
That all kind of stuff was wholly underrepresented now in the MCU.
You're right.
And I think that using Shang-Chi to sort of bridge that gap will be great. And honestly, the Mandarin and his 10 rings of magic is something that earlier in the MCU was not going to work. But now that we've got Doctor Strange opening up the mystical sides, like, it's free reign.
I'm just hyped for really Tony cool. Leung playing the Mandarin. So if you're a Kung Fu movie fan, Tony Leung is like one of the OGs there with like Donnie Yen and Jet Li and all them dudes.
Yeah.
Like,
you know how we've talked about this before, how every Marvel movie tends to embody a different genre.
Yeah.
I would love this to
be straight up Kung Fu.
That would be awesome.
How awesome would that be?
That'd be so good.
Like a Marvel's version of Enter the Dragon? Like, come on, dude. And you're going up against the Ten Rings, which gives closure on that whole storyline. I think this is going to be really interesting.
You know, speaking of that whole that Marvel movies kind of take on, you know, their own themes and genres, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is being billed as Marvel's first horror movie.
I cannot wait for this.
I'm so geeked for this one. And, this is my favorite announcement.
And we've also found, we'll talk about WandaVision here in a second, but WandaVision is going to be kind of the bridge into this film.
And Scarlet Witch will play a major role in Doctor Strange 2 as well.
So cool.
Yep. And then the last movie, Thor 4, Love and Thunder. Taika's coming back, of course. Valkyrie will be back. Thor will be back. And
can't wait.
And Natalie Portman came out at the end of this and picked up Mjolnir, which means that they're teasing Jane Foster.
Can't wait.
Thor.
That's great. First of all, I mean, Natalie Portman's relationship with the Marvel Cinematic Universe was tentative previous
to
this.
To be fair, after Dark World, I don't blame her.
I don't blame her
even
either.
Chris Hemsworth, at that point, was like, this sucks. Don't know, guys.
No. And I think that this is going to be a really cool opportunity to explore those two characters in a way that we hadn't before. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's also like connected to what they did in the comics. I think this is really smart.
We finally get our LGBT character.
That's right.
Yeah, you pulled a fast one on us. We thought it was going to be Captain Marvel, but nope. You pulled it out from under us on that one.
Let's be honest. It's still Captain Marvel.
Yeah, you'll never convince me that haircut means anything else.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going over the info that was dropped at San Diego Comic-Con. While we're going over the Marvel stuff now, let's take a look at what's going to be coming to the Disney Plus streaming service.
Right, so for me, I definitely think the biggest one here is going to be WandaVision. That's the one that we know most about. Elizabeth Olsen has said it takes place in the 50s, that her and Vision have a family, and this whole series is going to be about her trying to figure out how she deals with the loss of the vision, and it's going to go deep into exploring the possibilities of her powers. Now, with that in mind, and the fact that it apparently sets up the Multiverse of Madness,
that sounds like House of M to me.
I think that they're taking a lot of influence from House of M for this storyline.
I can't wait for that. That is really exciting.
I mean, but I'm gonna be honest, man, and none of the announcements for the Disney Plus stuff really moved the needle for me.
No, I actually turned the corner on WandaVision.
WandaVision seems cool and okay, but I'm just it's not doing it for me. The Falcon and
the Winter Soldier, which, by the way, Daniel Brühl is also part of that. He was the guy who played Baron Zemo, which means that they're bringing him back for
that's
for
cool.
Some again, it'd probably be good, but it's not moving the needle for me.
We know that the Loki series, who, by the way, won an award for worst logo design.
Oh yeah, that is a terrible logo.
Will follow the Loki who escaped in Endgame's alternate reality timeline. Yep. So that makes me wonder
like
how that's supposed
which we
to
already
be tying
called
back
that.
Into the greater MCU. But yes, it was a great setup for it.
Yeah.
Hawkeye. He's going to be getting his own one. This might actually be the one besides WandaVision that I'm like, nah. Ranner as Hawkeye is cool, and this is introducing Kate Bishop.
Yeah,
as well.
That's pretty cool because that will directly set up Young Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually really excited for that. And of course, we also found out that they're going to be doing a What If animated series
that I can't wait
for that's I'm excited for that. That's
hang on.
That's pretty cool.
That's not even the coolest part.
They're getting back all of the original actors to voice their characters.
Yeah. That,
I'm ready.
I am so in for that.
I want
I need that in
that's
my
the
life.
One thing for Disney Plus I did.
We do know that I think that they had mentioned the first one they're going to be doing is what if Peggy Carter got in the Super Soldier formula instead. And little tiny Steve Rogers gets an Iron Man suit developed by Howard Stark.
Give me this show now.
And there are also rumors, take this with a grain of salt, that they also want to do Marvel Zombies through the What If series.
Well, that's the place you would do
that's
it.
That's where you would do it.
And also, if you want to start like playing around with like Deadpool in your universe...
You do it there.
What If series might not be a bad
way to do it.
That's not bad.
You do it there. That way you don't break any canon.
That's not bad.
And then finally, they've also said that obviously there's other stuff planned, but they didn't have enough time. Black Panther 2 is coming. Captain Marvel 2 is coming. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming. Blade is being
rebooted. Yeah! I'm so happy.
And they are steadfast at work on Fantastic Four and the Mutants
as well.
I'm
so happy.
But it's probably still going to be a while for
them. It's Mahershala Ali, dog. He got an Oscar, man.
Oh, there's so much good
and he
stuff
was, and he was a villain in Luke Cage, right?
He was.
It don't matter.
Luke Cage.
I don't care.
Nope. I think the Netflix universe is officially like uncanonized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's totally undone. Well, I think that these are some exciting announcements, but what do you think? Were you anxiously glued to your Twitter feed over the weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Why don't they stream panels at SDCC? Drives me crazy. Every year I go to look for it.
They make so much money.
They don't stream. Yes. Thank you. A premium service.
Premium stream.
Exactly.
$20. You can have the whole thing.
Yes.
People will pay it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP. And also, it will not hurt ticket sales.
At all.
Still ahead on Checkpoint XP. I've got a question for you. When was the last time you encountered content in an MMO that the developer didn't directly tell you, either in patch notes or the game itself was there? That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to check out what was going on over the weekend. A very, very hot weekend. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening across Canada and TSN Sports Radio, including Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Hamilton, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. I apparently forgot to
all of Canada
learn how to read Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the Bpod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, as well as Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, and The Sound Of, which I was on recently with Ann Carlini and Steve Black, talking about video game music. Check it out over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. This weekend was really hot.
Yeah.
Really hot. And I'm not...
That's a basic way of describing it, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
So we talked on the Daily Show about what we would be doing instead of being out in the heat. So I guess we've got to pay that off now and find out what we were doing over the weekend. So did you, in fact, play 90 hours of Bubsy?
I did not play 90 hours of Bubsy, nor do I think I said I was going to. I thought I said
that's what I remember.
I was going to play Dark Souls Remastered. I didn't do that either.
You're a liar either way.
Yeah, I picked up Final Fantasy IX and started playing that on the Switch.
God damn,
I'm not gonna blame you for that.
That's a good weekend.
You know what happened too? Because Sarah got it for the Switch. She'd never played it before. She got about a disc and a half in, and then I was like, now I want to play it. So now we're both just sitting on the couch on playing on our Switches. And
I was really worried that you were going to say she got about a disc and a half in and put it down, and it made me so mad that I had to play it.
She really likes it. So
that's good.
I'm thankful for.
Good.
Yeah. I also got the last thing I could have. It's a great gift, but this weekend it was kind of a little too on the nose, and I didn't quite need it.
Slip and slide.
I was given a grill for my birthday.
The transformation is complete.
That's right. It was your 30th birthday.
I was given a grill, which is a great gift. And
you're now officially old.
I'm there.
You're
30.
Old. You're officially boring as
That's now. Correct.
So why did you not need this grill?
Because setting it up in 111 degree weather is awful.
Oh. All right. I got to ask the pertinent question. Go ahead, Nick.
Is it propane or is it charcoal?
It is a propane grill. That was
all right. We're done here.
I'll go next. We're not going to talk about this anymore. So I did not go out to the party with my warlock buddy from D&D because, again, it was 111 degrees out. And at the time that I would have left, a thunderstorm rolled through because Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
knocked out the power in half of the state.
It did. Yeah. In fact, half of our apartment complex also lost it. We were not amongst them.
That's awesome.
Half of the apartment complex? I don't think I've ever heard of only part of the apartment complex going down.
Yeah, it must have been a breaking thing because we got some like fluctuating lights, but
sure.
Like in my building, the core of the building and the units are powered by two completely different power sources.
Right, mm-hmm. And the units are always down.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah. Although after we got remember when they had to dig that hole, that big hole in the parking
power.
Lot?
I do remember that. Yeah.
It has been very stable since then.
Yeah, that's good.
So, interesting.
They've been doing that all around that whole area because they did it around my way, not too far.
Because the thing is that like I was very concerned, you know, watching those storms roll through, that I was also going to lose power, but I didn't. So I was very
underground power for the win.
I did get my first strike or gave my first strike to the Epic Game Store because I was going through looking for a new game to play. Came across Ghost Recons, which is like $17, normally $60.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. So I download, you know, the 60.
That's the new one, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. Yep, the one that has the DLC with John Bernthal in it.
Yeah.
So I download it. I go to play, and it's like, you know, it's from Ubisoft, so you have to attach
the Uplay
account. So I do that, and then when I hit launch, it launches Uplay, and Uplay is like installing Ghost Recon.
Oh no!
I'm like, I just did that Uplay, so I go through installing it all over again.
It's everybody's fault.
It's everybody's fault. So anyway, I have it downloaded.
Wait a minute.
It's taking up 120 gigabytes on my computer.
So you download it through the Epic Store
and install it.
Yep. And then it loads Uplay.
It launched Uplay.
Yep.
Hey, okay. I'm not okay with this.
This is terrible.
I'm not okay. That would be like if you bought something through Steam and then when you went to play it, it launched the Epic Store. that would never happen.
No.
That should never happen.
It'd be more akin to getting ESO on Steam and then having to launch it through Bethesda.
But yes!
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
Yeah,
none of that is okay.
Yep, so I didn't get to play it Saturday, but I played it all Sunday. Actually having a lot of fun.
I'll ask you about Ghost Recon in a second, but you might actually be the only human being I know of with a legitimate reason to be like, this whole launcher stupid.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Because double download makes no sense. And notice, haters, I'm still using it and still playing it.
And it legitimately installed
twice.
60 gigs.
Twice.
So there's 120
gigs.
You're dedicating 120 gigs of your hard drive space
I will uninstall the one through Epic and see if I can still play it through Uplay. Yes, because that's too much.
I mean, yeah. Wow. It's silly that you have to even go through that, but if you can uninstall it at least on one of them and still play it, whatever.
Yeah. But no, having a lot of fun with it. extremely open world. They literally drop you in, don't give you any tutorials.
Oh,
and
I love that.
And they're like, go.
I love that.
And I'm like, oh my God.
I might try it.
Massive world. You know, very, very technical. You know, reminds me of like the old SOCOM games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what, man? You know, it's a lot of fun.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Just Cause 2 demo.
Ooh, okay.
Because it literally, like, it gives you no direction. It just,
but you're in God mode.
I don't think in God mode, but you've got like a limited area around you that you can explore, and it's just like
here.
Yeah,
like, nope. It doesn't tell you anything.
And actually, the
you
best
go,
thing
oh,
about
this
it
shoots. Oh, shit, if I shoot that, it blows up. Like, you just figure it out.
You get to fully customize your character, and then I found out after about 10 hours into it, the random three dudes they give you in the squad, you can customize them as well. So I'm running around with like four badass women who are just like shooting up the Bolivian cartel. It's
that's the worst thing you could do to me, man, is give me character customization, because mm-hmm. I'm like,
you get to fully customize.
I might mess around and
all
like
of them.
Never play. Just customize. Just
and
customize
and you can even do like outfit presets. So if you want to change them later,
oh,
one button, new outfit.
So I could have like stealth outfits, swamp outfits,
absolutely yes.
Winter outfits.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
my
and
God,
it's $17
it.
Right now.
I love it. I love it.
So what'd you get up to over the weekend, Norris?
Well, Saturday, which was blazing hot, I actually braved the heat. Went out early, very early, so before it got too hot.
So I was like probably like 84.
88, but
I woke up at noon on Saturday, by the way, to an apartment room that was 72 degrees.
Yeah,
it was
by the time we were on the way back home, it was about just getting real, real hot.
Yeah,
but it was about 88 when we left. I went to go see The Lion King, which I know Kuki was very ho-hum about. I was an emotional wreck. Once again, most of the adults in my show were emotional wrecks, so I mean, it still does what it's supposed to do. Yeah, it's the same movie, yes.
Yeah, you've seen it before.
You've seen it before, but it did what it was supposed to do,
sure.
Which was destroy me. So I did that, played soccer on Sunday, got a hat trick. You already know how I do.
Oh, wait, hold on, I got you.
Outstanding.
Appreciate that. But I was feeling a little under the weather, so I just kind of chilled out a little bit, watched a little bit of CWL finals, a little bit of PUBG finals.
Yeah.
A lot of versus fighting. But what I did pick up was a new game called Night Call. What is that? It's Raw Fury. I saw this game at PAX in the good people.
Is this the one where you're a taxi driver?
Yes.
I remember this. The good people, the murder?
Yeah, the good people at Raw Fury actually sent me a copy of it.
Oh, that's what's up.
So I decided to give it a try, and it's really engaging. It's really engaging.
So you play a cab driver, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to solve a series. You're trying to solve a murder.
A murder, yes.
Through asking questions to a series of passengers.
Yeah, and I mean, any passenger. And it's cool. Some passengers will give you a bunch of information. Some passengers won't. They have this thing called the Passadex, which is like a Pokedex for all the passengers you can meet in the world. And it will show you like how many branches of the dialogue you've unlocked per passenger. So it reinforces you to play certain stories again.
That's awesome.
I've been enjoying it. So it's definitely about to be my, I got 10 minutes to blow. Let me boot it up right quick.
Nice.
I dig it. It was really cool.
Nice. Well, like you, I was also watching a lot of the GLL Open. Amazing,
dude! The clips that you were sending.
I know, right? I can't wait to talk about this. We're going to be talking about it a little bit later on in the week here on Checkpoint XP Daily. So that was a lot of fun, but I held to exactly what I said I was going to. I just played Fallout all weekend. I kept the lights off.
Hold on. How long did you play Fallout in a single sitting?
On Sunday, I woke up at like 9 o'clock. Normally, if I'm up that early, right, I'll try to go back to sleep, which I did on Saturday. I was able to sleep till like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and it was awesome.
Not bad.
Oh,
not bad.
It was so good. And then Sunday, I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm up. I'm just gonna get up. So I got up. I played like 5 hours of Fallout 4.
Oh, that's not bad.
Right? And then, yeah. Well, and then I got some food, came back, played another 5 hours.
Oh, so...
And then I
10 hours
logged on to 76 for a few hours, and then logged off and went back. It was like about 15 hours when all was said and done on Fallout 4.
Wow, yeah, you made good life choices.
Yeah, yeah. I was able to do laundry and make myself food, so I did other things.
I was able to clean my clothes and eat.
That's right.
That's impressive.
I was able to sustain myself.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
No, I had a really good time. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to like watch anything. So like, you know, like when it came time for GLL, that was fun. But like all of the other time I was just watching like live PD.
I'm picturing Nate.
Like, it's just, I don't even like that show.
Yeah.
Like, it's just visual wallpaper at this point.
Yeah.
I'm picturing Nate sitting at his computer playing Fallout, and it's got the little, like, the stats from The Sims underneath, and you can just see his, like, hygiene and food going down as his fun goes up.
Well, that's usually the exchange.
That's just how I picture it. I can see, like, the little bars under you. I like it.
Yeah. So that's what we were getting up to over the weekend. What were you doing? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, I got a question for you. Do you like when online games put in content but don't tell you about it? We're going to talk about that next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Shadow patched content. Don't worry, if you don't know what that means, we'll explain it here in just a second. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. What is shadow content? Well, shadow content is anything that the developer adds to a game that they don't explicitly point you to, mostly through patch notes.
Yeah, usually.
You know, whether the game itself ends up flagging a quest, that can be debated, but mostly this is something that the developer has not directly pointed you to do.
And it was pretty popular, especially in MMOs, I feel like, for about 15 years, 10 years maybe.
Well, early on, there wasn't a need to have to tell your players. That idea of, like, I guess, transparency is just something that I think became more prevalent as, you know, social media started to give rise and people had platforms to be able to you know, have this dialogue with developers.
Well, I agree with you. I actually think that's where the energy of this starts. Because as it is now, I mean, most of the mystery is taken away from MMOs on patch day, right? Everything's data mined.
Yeah.
Everything, you know.
You can look and see.
If the developer doesn't explicitly put it out in the first place,
most of it is data mined.
Most of
it,
of the, whatever's remaining is data mined.
Well,
but I do think, Robbie, what you're saying is that it started, putting out patch notes started from a place of transparency.
It did. It started as a response to those people who were data mining all of the information. Because, Joe, I think your observation is absolutely correct. Correct that, you know, during the early days of MMO development, developers could really add content kind of at a whim, and you would be forced to download a patch and they would never tell you about it. They would never explain anything. I played Ultima Online for years. Sometimes you would get a couple of notes in your login screen.
Right.
But that was about it.
No, I definitely remember logging into some of those older games. And yeah, there's a force patch, so you got to go yep. through a patching process.
So you know that there's going to be a difference.
So you knew something changed, and all you did was just wonder, what did they change? Now I got to go look through everything and see if I can figure out what got changed.
Do you guys remember, because we all played Final Fantasy XI around the same time, but in the early days of Final Fantasy XI, that was exactly it. People would go and data mine all of the stuff, all of the new items, and then kind of reverse engineer where they all came from.
Yep.
And so, you know, within a matter of like 3 or 4 days, you had all of the information that you needed. And you're right, I do feel like this started as a response to that kind of thing. But is it entirely necessary? Do developers have to state every single change that they make in developers' notes? Because you would think by the reaction of people when they don't, when something is left out of a patch note, that this is a very big deal. But it's important, I don't think that it is.
It's important to note that there are two types of changes that are happening. One, as you said, is content, but the other is balance changes.
Mechanics.
Sure. I do think that it's important to be transparent when it comes to balance changes or mechanical changes, because some people, like yourself, Nate, can yes. get really hurt and really upset when one of your favorite things is nerfed into the ground.
You're right.
And you're not given an explanation why.
Well, I don't know that I always need an explanation.
Well, you don't, but it helps.
Sometimes it does help, sometimes to hear justification, but I don't know that it's entirely necessary. You know, one of the things, and I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76 recently, one of the things that they've done is they have specific quests in there that they do shadow patch in, and they don't tell anyone about.
See, that's okay, though. Content is fine. I feel like if you're in if you are developing a persistent game world, I think it's important for you to have content that is only discoverable by, you know, a specific set of conditions.
That, sure. that helps because keep your community lively as people discover these things and start to disseminate the information.
More than anything, it helps pad
well.
Out your gameplay. More well, than sure. anything. But what I enjoy about that is it helps create sort of that feeling of, oh my God, I may be one of the only people who sure. have discovered this.
Right.
And that's part of what having a persistent game world is. Because right now, when you have MMOs, is that there's a very specific rigid path that I follow. I get to this level, I do these dungeons, I do this instance, I go to the raid, I get this gear, and I'm done. What else is there for me to do or see or find? Nothing.
Right.
So when you have these game worlds and you have content that you haven't explicitly laid out for players, you create a sense of adventure.
And discovery,
yes. And discovery, yeah. And people want to go out and be in your game world.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're talking about shadow content. Is this a good idea for game developers to add? And we've been talking about it a lot in context of, you know, online games, your Fortnites, your Apex Legends, Fallout 76, and even MMOs. But this is something that even offline games can do by forcing a patch. Here's a great example. Grand Theft Auto 5,
yeah.
or the Mount Chiliad mystery. I don't know if that's ever been solved, but yeah. there was a time when I was really into GTA 5, and this was the big thing, is that the developers were giving you, you know, like bit by bit, clue by clue, you know, this bigger
story.
Yes, this bigger mystery of what was at Mount Chiliad, and could you actually find a UFO? And the thing was, is that like, if they pushed a small patch and added something in, like that's like master stroke. And this is stuff that game developers weren't previously able to do. That's utilizing the technology in a new, interesting way, and one that engages the player. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
Well, and let me tell you how refreshing it is to discover stuff like that, because you guys know me, I've sung the praises of Assassin's Creed Odyssey for the longest. But I stopped keeping up with the patch notes maybe about 5-6 months ago.
Sure.
So I knew new DLC was coming out, and I tried it, played it, loved it, beat it. But there was a whole like collection of quests
yeah.
that were patched in post-launch that I didn't even know about because I didn't read the patch notes. And so it created an entire like extra 20 days of gameplay.
Hey, what's this?
Because I'm sitting back like, oh my God, I'm discovering things and I'm going back to, you know, different islands.
And it feels
masses.
Organic, too.
And it's organic. Well, and it got me to play the game more.
Even Blizzard does stuff like that when they're teasing new characters, is they'll put in very subtle changes just to the environment. Like before Doomfist came out, the payload on Numbani had the Doomfist gauntlet destroyed and taken out of it.
But I think that's different, though. I think in this case, what we're saying is like, that's more what Nate was saying is like, you know, piecemealing sort of story and lore to
you.
But I think in this case, you know, having content that is not told to you at all, period.
Yeah.
I think that creates a much more compelling and engaging draw to a game world than just telling you everything and where it's at.
The group act of a community discovering a secret
boss in Legion to a rare mount.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the kind of stuff that I'm talking about and what I would love to see happen more in games. We have the technology to make it happen now, and it just seems like a little bit of a missed opportunity. We want to hear from you. What do you think about Ghost content being added to games? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.